Thank you for taking the time to listen to this life-changing message from the Ministry of Faith Bible Chapel. We hope this message will encourage you in all parts of your life. At the end of this message, you will hear more information on how to contact our church family, as well as directions for you to visit us for any of our worship services. Until then, join us for the service in progress.
Of course, it's just going to make it more impactful for you. And then look at that box there. Here's something we're going to begin today. And actually, we will tape it tomorrow, and it will be available on Tuesday. And that is a podcast that you can tap into. And in order to be part of that, you might have some questions after today's message. And we want you to be able to text those questions to us. And what we're going to do is tomorrow, we're going to sit around a table in my office, and we're going to answer those questions. We're going to talk about them. And what this is going to do is, once again, take us a little bit further into the message on momentum. So here's how you text the question into us, okay? All the instructions are given right then. You can do it right while we're preaching the message. If something comes to you and I see you on your telephone, I know what you're doing, right? You're texting me, right? Yeah, not your friend across the sanctuary or anything like that. We think this will be helpful as we just talk about it in an informal way. Again, I think we'll be able to cover some things. And then on further down is our website. And on our website, you can go to the website and you can find out some more information on what we're doing. So we have a little video that gives you an idea how to do that. Why don't we just show that now?
We want you to experience spiritual momentum over the next 40 days. To help us all achieve this, you will need to understand how to use our 40 Days of Momentum webpage. First of all, log on to www.fbci.org and click on the Momentum tab. On that page, you'll find everything you need for the next 40 days. You'll be able to listen to sermons, listen to and or download the Momentum to Go podcast. These podcasts will feature Pastor George and Pastor Gary doing Q&A with questions that you, the listener, text in. You can find the weekly memory verse and anything else you need to make this 40-day experience a memorable and lasting one that will impact you for the next 40 days and beyond.
Okay, sounds easy enough. All of these things are resources. Now, when you think about the topic of momentum, it's more than movement. It's more than motion. What it is, it involves mass in motion. And so you have this mass, and I consider we're part of that mass. Individuals, but collectively, we have this mass. So that mass, there's something, some influence externally needs to take place to move that mass. So it's these external forces that will move this mass along. So all of these things that we're doing, whether it be the podcast or a memory verse or a small group participation or another Bible class situation, whatever it might be, a memory verse, these are all external forces hopefully moving you in the right direction, okay? That's why we call it a campaign. That's why we're all focused in. That's why our children are doing it. That's why the team momentum with Captain
Promise.
No, not Captain Promise. Is it Captain Promise? Captain Promise, Fantastic Faith,
Happy Hope,
and
Positive Patience.
And they're all dealing with Diablo, and I'm not even going to try to say the rest of his name. You got it, Doug? Okay. So anyway, the children, they're getting the message through drama presentations and also some Bible study. We want them to be impacted. At an early age, we want them to see the value of momentum. I don't know if you watch football, but any sporting event, you can see the value of momentum. Last night, there was a great game on LSU-Alabama. Game. I mean, it was a great game. It was a classic game. But I don't know if you noticed something. But there was a momentum change, and here was the reason. There were some negative forces working against Alabama. I actually thought Alabama was playing a better game in the beginning. I better not get into this, or I'm going to get all kind of arguments on that. But they missed, I think, what was it? Andrew, you remember, it was 2 out of 6 field goals they made. They missed 3, 4 field goals. They won block, yeah. All right, but every time there was a missed field goal, you could just see something happened to Alabama. And when they walked out, to kick that next field goal, you could tell that there was a defeat. There was a momentum change. But then when LSU's kicker walked out, I mean, there was a smile on his face. There was something going for them, and you knew what was going to happen. Man, it had a lot to do with momentum, folks. There were some negative forces that were working against Alabama that caused them to lose their momentum. That's what we're going to talk about today. There are negative forces working against your life that will cause you to lose momentum. What are you going to do about it? Because you cannot avoid those negative forces. They're going to happen. So that's what we want to deal with today. Joseph is our subject. If you read Genesis chapter 37 through Genesis chapter 50, there are 14 chapters that deal with Joseph in one way or another. I don't know of another character where 14 chapters are dedicated or delegated to telling his story, but that's what we have. I think it's because God wanted to communicate something to us through the life of Joseph. But here's a story that I think any producer of a TV programs or miniseries would love for them, someone to present this kind of script to them. Listen to this script. A story that had it all. It had hatred, had envy, had jealousy, had lying, rejection, revenge, deceit, lust, seduction, attempted murder, violence, rape accusations, false charges, prison, and then it even had the other end of it, prestige, power, wealth. All of this is included in the story of Joseph and personally has to do with this one man, this one young man. It's an amazing script to write about a life. But you look at the end of it, and what a successful life. I don't think there's one of us in here that doesn't desire some kind of success in our life. Fruitful existence. So a meaning to be living for each and every day. And I think that's what momentum is all about. And hopefully this is going to be able to help you. So we can learn a lot from the life of Joseph. Now, there are three general things we'll start with. And you can learn this from the life of Joseph, but they come out in his life, but they're general things that pertain to just about every one of us. Number one is that you will face many circumstances in your life that you cannot control. How true is that? You just can't control it. How many in here have been in an earthquake? Let me see your hands. How many, have you been in an earthquake? Okay, I've been in two earthquakes. And guess where they were? Southern California. All right, two earthquakes. I remember the first earthquake. I was living in an apartment with some other guys in Southern California, and my bedroom, I didn't really have a bed. I just had a mattress on the floor. Yeah, how many can relate to those days when you lived in your apartment with just mattress on the floor? So I was laying on this mattress, and sometime early in the morning, man, that whole floor was moving. I mean, it didn't have to be a bed with legs on. The floor was moving. And the first thing that I saw when I opened my eyes were the things on the dresser that were moving and falling off the dresser. I mean, you can't control anything. It's out of your control. The second time was with my family. We were at Disneyland, and we were at a very high up, I don't know, 11th, 12th floor of a hotel, getting ready to come down the elevator, and all of a sudden, that building began to move. I'm talking about moving 7-8 feet. It was just moving like that. You just feel totally out of control. So one moment, it's like everything's going along like, hey, no problem. And then in a split second, and as quickly as it comes, it goes. And that's what life can be like a lot of times for us. Going along like not expecting anything to happen, and then total chaos. It just goes totally out of control. A second thing is that things don't always work out as planned. A lot of us have. I even put down here in my note, do I really need to comment on this? That's what I put down on here, but I'll say a few little comments. But we have a lot of plans for our children. They don't always work out that way. We have plans for our marriage. We want it to be such and such. It doesn't always work out. Hey, we get jobs. We have plans. A lot of times, hey, this is a good job. I'd love to be here the rest of my life. We're not. And just in the last 30 years, that has totally changed to what it was 40 years ago. I mean, people could count on things more than they can today. Cutbacks happen, friends move away, loved ones pass on. I mean, they don't always work out as planned. Well, one thing that we're going to learn today is that character and not circumstances will determine true success in life. Character is going to determine, not circumstances. Character. I saw a definition, or lots of definitions, but I like this one. It says, character, the qualities built into an individual's life that determine his or her response regardless of circumstances. Did you get that? So regardless of circumstances, character, what is built into your life? How do you respond to circumstances? Negative circumstances. Things that we're talking about right now. So, character and not circumstance we're going to talk about. Now, Joseph certainly had his challenges. There's no doubt about it. Nobody could argue, but he had his challenges. And any one of them, pick out any one of these obstacles, challenges, difficulties that Joseph had the potential to stall his momentum. Just stop it dead in his track. Cause him to pull back. He could have lost his momentum several times in the first 30 years of his life. All of this was happening. It was rough. And where did it start? It started in his home. First place, he was rejected in the home, right from the very beginning. I mean, a young lad, just filled with ambition. Bible says his brothers hated him so much they couldn't speak peaceably of him. He was the second of the last of 11 children. There was a lot of rivalry going on, a lot of competition, a lot of bitterness. The brothers were jealous because the father seemed to favor Joseph more than them. They were stepbrothers. So you could say it was kind of like a blended home. Many people grow up, live in blended homes today. Some difficulties, challenges with that, they had it. They went as far as wanting to kill him. Planning how to kill him. In the meantime, they put him in a deep, dark well. Just begin to imagine what began to take place in this young man's life. His own brothers throwing him in a well. Decided to sell him into slavery rather than kill him. Well, maybe that was a better option. I don't know, but it must have felt like he was dying. He goes on down to Egypt, become into a foreign land. And overnight, here's this young, pampered son who becomes a slave. Joseph knew rejection. There's some of you in here know rejection. You know what it's like. You've been through it. Maybe you're going through it right now. It's one of those things it's hard to deal with. It's hard to live with. But what does he do? There he slowed down and he becomes successful even as a slave. So Joseph continues. The momentum is still moving for Joseph. But this time it's at work. So he has a battle at home, and now he has a battle at work. He's seduced and slandered when he's working, trying to do his best. He was working for a man by the name of Potiphar, who was kind of like a general, you could say, in Pharaoh's armies, and very wealthy man, slave. He had a wife that had an eye for Joseph, and she began to go after him. She says she kept putting pressure on him day after day. So he's going to work, trying to do what is right, in the kind of situation he's in. She's going after him, but it says he refused to sleep with her. He said he kept out of her way. Listen to this. I like this. As much as possible. I mean, he was doing everything he could, but one day it got really bad. She grabbed hold of him. Matter of fact, she had a hold of his cloak. Joseph, can you imagine? What am I going to do now? He ran. Best thing he could have done, but he ran. She still had a hold of his coat. He lost his coat, but he kept his character. Yes. He kept his character. He kept on going. She framed him, trying to do what is right at work. You ever hear the phrase, hell hath no fury like a woman scorned? And she was after him. So he's thrown into prison. Problems weren't over. They went from bad to worse. You ever feel like that? When it rains, it pours. Bad to worse. So he develops a friendship in prison. He keeps on trying to do what is right. He kept trying to keep the momentum going. So he makes some friends, and he even helps them get out of prison, and he simply makes one little request from his friends. Remember me when it is well with you. And please, show your kindness to me. Mention me to Pharaoh. And get me out of this house. Yet they did not remember, and they forgot him. So now he's forgotten by friends. He had a home problem, he had a work problem, and now he's forgotten by his friends. It doesn't get any worse than that. That about covers every area of our life. We could say that Joseph had a lot to overcome, but I could say here, there are many, many, many here today have a lot to overcome. There's no doubt. Not trying to minimize it, we're just trying to talk about it. We're trying to come up with some solution. We're trying to come up with some biblical, good, sound doctrine that God is willing to back up and see us keep on keeping on. So what's the answer? How do you do that, what I just said? How can you keep moving forward? How can you keep momentum when all these things are happening to us? What was it about Joseph's life that will help us? How did Joseph keep the momentum, keep moving forward when all of these things were happening to him, one right after another? What would I do? Matter of fact, I'll ask this question. How do you react in negative situations? That'd be a good question to keep pondering while we go through this. How can I make an impact when it seems like everything is conspiring against me in this world that we live in? You wouldn't be here today if you didn't want something more. Hopefully more of a relationship with Christ, a growth in your life. Hopefully something that you can live out and represent Him and be an ambassador for Christ. Hopefully that's what we're here for. Maybe some are here just seeking and searching for answers to life. Thank God you're here. We welcome you. And I pray you'll get those answers. And I believe that God has an answer for you. But these are questions that we need to begin to answer ourselves. Well, Joseph had the kind of qualities I think can help us. He had the kind of qualities that will keep us momentum. I want to give you just six of them, okay? So we'll run through these. But I believe if you look at every one of these seriously, it is going to move you forward. Because today, this afternoon, you might face a challenge. Something, it'll happen like an earthquake. I mean, just, you know, come into your life, out of control. You're faced with things right now, you haven't planned them going away, but how do you, all right, see that and yet go on? Let me give you a few things. First thing, it has to start with a dream. Start with a vision. Joseph had a vision at a very young age. He had a vision. A vision to that motivated him. You know, a vision and a dream will motivate you. You might be saying right now, well, I know the story of Joseph, and he had this kind of divine vision when he was sleeping, a dream that he was going to be head and successful. I never have anything like that. Well, let me break it down a little bit about vision. Vision is just a picture of where do you want to go? It's just a sincere question asking God or asking yourself, where do I want to go? Where do I want to be next week, next month? Where do I want my marriage to go? Where do I, as a young person, where do you want to go when you finish school? What do you really want to be? Maybe you don't have a total answer to that, but you've got to have some kind of picture. You've got to have some kind of vision. And I think one of the best places to start with that is, listen, one thing I know for sure, if nothing else works out in my vision and dream, which I have a lot of vision, a lot of dream, I want to be closer to Jesus. I really do. I want to be close because I'm finding out that the mysteries of God, once revealed to the child of God, there is nothing like it. There's nothing equal in this world. There's nothing that you can gain in this world that doesn't happen in those moments in that time. And you don't, it's hard to even share because you have to experience it. But trust me, when it happens, it happens. It's a marvelous experience that we have. Proverbs tells us that if you don't have a vision, you're going to lose restraint. I think it's self-explanatory. If you don't have some kind of picture, a goal in your life, there's no restraint on your life. So here's what's happened. Now, at the last moment, I think of this, but and I don't even know if we have. I know we have one around. You ever see these big, soft kind of balls that you, in a gym, you kind of like, you push it down one, and then there's others pushing it down the other way. I wanted to get it, and I wanted to put it here and roll it down here. Now, those of you sitting on this end, I'm glad he didn't get it. But no, though, because here's one of the first things. I don't know what it's going to do. When it hits this step, that step, that step, it could go any direction, or it might be straightened, but if it hits this pew, once it hits that pew, it's going to bounce over here, right? Listen, circumstances that we've already mentioned are going to come. These are those external forces. And if you don't have a vision, if that external negative thing hits you, you could just go off, and God only knows how long you'll be on that path. Does that make sense? If it hits you this way, I mean, you don't know how far you're going to go over this way. So if there's no restraint, if there's no parameters, if you don't have something you're looking at, I'm looking back there, and I don't know why, they put that clock up there. I think it was for the music worship leaders to know how long that they're supposed to go. But as big red letters, and those red letters are telling me it's 9:26 right now. Do they have it right this morning? Yeah, 9:26. And so that's telling me when, but that's a vision. You know, that's something I can look at. I got my eyes on it. And it doesn't matter what's going to, this external force, if I keep my eye on the vision, on the dream, I'm going to keep moving that way. Do you have your eye on the vision? There was a prophet in the Old Testament. His name is Habakkuk. There's a book of Habakkuk, just a short book. But it said that he made a commitment one day. And here's what he said. He said, listen, I will watch to see, speaking of the Lord, what he will say to me. He said, I'm going to go up to the top of this tower, and I'm going to wait there. I'm going to watch, and God, show me. I think that's how you get a vision. You have to take some time and ask God, Lord, show me a vision. This past weekend, we started a 24/7 prayer meeting, and all night, beginning Friday night at 5 o'clock, and then 24 hours, there was worship and prayer, and that's going to continue through this week. By the way, so every hour we have someone slotted to be in the prayer chapel praying during this momentum thing, because it's an excellent time. So if you haven't signed up, there's a momentum prayer table back there. Look at this week and say, listen, I need to sign up for a slot. Maybe you can't do a full hour. Maybe it's just a half hour. Maybe 15, but maybe it's more than that. But that's an excellent opportunity to go in, quiet yourself down. Just say, look, I'm going to go to that chapel. What an environment just to go into the chapel. And I'm going to watch. I'm going to see what God's going to say to me. And I guarantee if you'll do that, God's going to speak something to you concerning a vision for your life. You need to do it. So once you get a hold of that, then you move forward. He said, then write out the vision, make it plain that, listen what it says, that he who reads it can run with it. So once you get a hold of it, you can run with it. The second quality that Joseph had, and that was this. He did not give in to self-pity. He could have. Had every reason to give in to self-pity. Self-pity described as simply like this. As you look at the world and you believe the world is totally unfair to you. And the only thing preventing you from having joy in your life are the problems in your life. If you look at the world that way, you will live in self-pity. If you believe that problems are keeping you from momentum or keeping you from accomplishing, that's self-pity. Because problems aren't going to keep you from doing that. I put down four stops. I didn't put them on your note. But here's four things you need to stop doing if you're wallowing in self-pity. And again, these are pretty straightforward. But I think that's how you have to deal with self-pity. Because if you don't, man, it's kind of like a miry mud pit. You just kind of, you can't get out of it. You just use all your energy. Number one, stop complaining that the world is unfair. Second, stop demanding that the world was created to serve you. You know what the opposite of the attitude would be? Start serving. The world wasn't created to serve you. You weren't created to be served. You were created to serve. That's what Jesus said. Stop comparing yourself with other people. Life is not a competition. And then stop saying you cannot, because Jesus said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. It's Christ who strengthens you. It's Christ who's for you. It's Christ who has a purpose for you. It's the goal of Christ. Paul said, I press toward the goal that Christ has for me. Joseph said, it was to save lives that God sent me ahead of you. He wasn't in self-pity. Thirdly, kind of goes along with it because it can follow up with it. He did not give in to bitterness. He could have been bitter. He said to his brothers, don't be distressed. He said, and do not be angry with yourselves for selling me here. He didn't have bitterness in his heart. Here's a simple definition of bitterness. It's just you can't let go of something. You can't let go of a hurt. You can't let go of a disappointment. You can't let go of an offense. You can't let go of it. It's there. It plagues you. It becomes a root. Something about Joseph I learned, his character was stronger than his circumstances. Keep going back to that, but his character was stronger than the circumstances. Hebrews tells us, warns us, it said, we better watch out that no bitterness takes root. Notice that word, takes root. Wow. Bitterness can take root, and roots can go deep. And sometimes it's hard to, you even if it's a deal with the bush, the root's still there. So you don't let it take root, because it'll harm you. It says that for it springs up, it could cause deep trouble, hurting many in their spiritual lives. Another quality about Joseph, he stayed faithful in his responsibilities in all circumstances. There was something, some quality about Joseph that no matter where he found himself, he said, I'm going to do a good job. I'm just going to do the best I can. He realized he couldn't change it. No use worrying about it. I'm just going to do a good job where I am. He always gave his best. When it was Potiphar, Joseph had complete administrative responsibility over everything he owned. He had no worry in the world with Joseph there. Let me ask you this question. Could your boss say that about you? Good question. Turn to someone and say, good question. All right. See, his character would not allow him to do less than that. He just had to do it. When he was in jail, here's what the jailer said. He handed over the entire prison administration to Joseph, and he had no worries. Down yonder, they say, no worries, mate. He had no worries whatsoever. Now, I put this down. I even put it on your notes, and I think it's true about all of us. Joseph might not have known why these things were happening to him. You might never know why these things are happening to you, but he did know what to do. I would call that momentum. He didn't know what was happening, but he knew what to do. We know what to do. Just do it right. That's momentum. That's moving forward. Another quality, he maintained his integrity through the whole thing. He remained whole. He remained true to himself. He remained true to his God. He remained true to knowing what was right, wholeness. He refused in the situation with Potiphar's wife. He said, how could I ever do such a wicked thing? It would be a great sin against God. Now, can you imagine? Think about that setting. I often think about that. I mean, here he is, a young man. The world didn't treat him right. He's away from his family. There's an internal battle going on. He's in a foreign country. Life is tough. Maybe the temptation was something like this. Who's going to know? But how about that? Who really cares? God doesn't care. People don't care. So why should I care? Let me just take a little pleasure. Wicked people bring about their own downfall by their evil deeds, but good people are protected by their integrity. Let me give you a caution. Here's a big caution, big red flag. Temptation is always greater when things aren't going well. When difficult challenges, when it's just not working out, I'll tell you, it's that you're vulnerable at that moment and it's not working out, so the temptation is going to be greater than it ever was. And lastly, but certainly not least, he trusted in the sovereignty of God. He just somehow believed that God was going to work it out. He said, God sent me here. He said, I've learned that God sent me here to keep you. God had a purpose for it, and your family's alive so that you will become a great nation. Yes, it was God who sent me here, not you. Can you say that in the face of a problem, in the face of a giant, in the face of a difficulty, in the face of something that just happens to you? Can you say, listen, you really can't keep me back. You can't stop my momentum. You're not going to keep me from the purposes of God. I don't care how I misunderstand or don't understand this. Listen, I don't care how big you are, problem. I'm talking about a problem right now. I don't care how big you are, problem. Sometimes we have to talk to problems. He that is in me is greater than you. Amen. I know God's sovereign. I know God's not going to allow me to stop. God's not going to, doesn't want me to lose momentum. You see, God has a plan that is greater than your problems. You believe it?
Yes.
God has a plan. Now, I want you to stand up, if you will. Keep your notes, because there's something we're going to do. Turn to the back again of your notes. Now, on the back of your notes, I'm going to pray here just a moment, but there's a memory verse. It comes out of Romans chapter 8 and verse 28. Here's a verse to memorize this week. It's going to help you in your momentum, something you need to be reminded of, especially as it pertains to Joseph and what we're talking about here. What was our subject? Momentum in spite of. You know the word spite means in defiance of. In spite of your circumstances, momentum. Here's the memory verse. I want us to read it out loud. You ready? Everybody got it on the back of the notes right at the bottom there? Ready, set, go. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purposes. Do you believe that? I want to pray for you. Let's pray. Father, as we've come here, we spent a very short time together. But Lord, as we talk about this subject of momentum, Lord, we're talking about spiritual momentum. But Lord, we're talking about just momentum in life to keep going on, moving toward your purposes. And Father, we realize that we're faced with many challenges. But Lord, you've written something.
We hope that this message has spoken something personal to you. If you would like more information about our church family or service times, please call us at 303-424-2121 or visit us at our website, www.fbci.org. Faith Bible Chapel currently meets in our Family Worship Center, located on the corner of 62nd Avenue and Ward Road.